Hey, Dante.
Hey, there, buddy. Good to see
Thank you.
right. Thank you, choir. We're going to change things a little bit. I didn't check with the man that just came up on the platform, but we're going to let the choir come down now. We're going to have a handshaking time, and then we're going to remain standing and sing a hymn. So let's stand. Let's have a little time of fellowship, handshaking time, while the choir comes down. Take your hymnals. They're right there in the chairs in front of you, or in the front row, guys. It's right underneath your chair. Number 321. 321. Let's sing the Sound of Battle Cry. 321. Brother Steve. Got a good crowd. I'll be able to make some noise tonight now. And this thing's so hot. We want to keep it easy. Sing the first and last stanzas. All right, sing out now. Sound of battle cry, see the Lord's high, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everywhere, lift your cause and fight for His word. Rock and soldiers, rally round the banner, standing, standing, pass the word along. Onward, forward, down around the banner, fight is captured on the mighty throne. Oh, thou God of all, hear us when we call, now come on and on, by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory won, may we well demand before thy grace. Thousands of soldiers rally round the banner, ready, steady, at the word of all. Onward, forward, down around the banner, fight is passing on the mighty war. All right, good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. And you turn this down a little bit for me. I don't need it this loud. All right, you got it? You know which one it is? Well, you look good set back there, don't you? Top left corner there, Brother Joaquin. Don't turn. All right, here, I'll just do this. All right. Thank you so much for good being in the service tonight. Good crowd tonight. I appreciate your prayers. We just got here. We thought we left early enough, but I have never in, 30 years of preaching, always been in church on Sunday night. I've never been driving Sunday afternoon anywhere. I've been in church. There's more traffic on the road on Sunday evening on the interstate. I had no clue it was going to be like that. And we got in several jams that for no reason. There was no accident. There was no stalled car. Everybody just, I think they just knew I was trying to get here. So they said, let's slow down and hold that fella up. And they almost did a good job. But anyway, I appreciate so much you being here tonight. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Steve, I want you to come up here because you kind of got, I'm not caught up on everything. So after we pray, I want you to kind of give the folks the prayer requests and things that you know about from this morning, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing upon the service. Where's Brother Rugg? Brother Jerry Rugg. Right back here. We love Brother Jerry. Appreciate him being here with the children. How about you lead us in prayer, Brother? Would you do that? Hey. Amen. Oh, you may be seated, and so good to see you back. So good to have Pastor back, and Miss Judy, and Sister Bethany, and good to have the children's home here from Tabernacle. There's a buzz of excitement around here right now, and I like that. It's wonderful. I also just moved down to Columbia, be at church all the time. And Pastor, this is Brother Rob Boswell right here. Wave that in, Brother Rob. There you go. So you know he's going to preach tonight. All right. And so good to see you. By way of prayer request, we prayed for Miss Stephanie and McKenna. Y'all probably got the email that her lower back was really in great pain today. But I don't know if it's medicine or the Lord or both. But here you are tonight. Good to have you back. Miss Ramona, I guess, is still sick. Miss Bobby. Okay, so pray for her. We didn't mention Miss Claudette Sad specifically this morning, but she's having a real hard time with bronchitis and I'm not sure what else. But pray for Miss Claudette when you pray, okay? And Pastor, that's all the announcements we did this morning. Now, Brian, you want Brian to come up here? All right, Brian, you ready? Come on up here. That's my son, Brian. Well, we don't really know what's going on. No, you have any. Be back here Wednesday night, of course, 7 o'clock. And then our trunk or treat is this Friday at 6. And we got some people lined up to help come early at 3 o'clock to help decorate and get things set up. If you did not raise your hand this morning and you're still interested in that, just come at 3 o'clock Friday. Maybe let this Bethany know that you can do that. And then the ladies' meeting will be Saturday, leaving the church at 7:30. We had a few raise their hand this morning that said they were like to go. Is there anybody here that did not raise their hand this morning, you weren't here, or maybe you rework the schedule and you want to say tonight that you commit to go on Saturday so we can make sure we have a final count? There's all two, right? Okay, there's two right there. Anybody else? Am I missing anybody? Okay. So, thanks for that. Then next Sunday, of course, we'll meet here at a regular scheduled time. And keep in mind, I actually forgot to mention this morning, but I don't want to forget again tonight, that November 4th is our Pastor Appreciation Sunday. So be inviting people to that. And we're looking forward to a special time in the Lord on Sunday morning. That Sunday evening, we're baptizing McKenna. And like I said last Sunday, we'd like to baptize more. If you'll get saved, we'll put you on the list. So we look forward to that. We'll baptize at least one. And we'll pray for more on the evening service on November 4th. All right,
we're going to give you one more opportunity to sing 421. 421, my sins are gone. We're going to hold the first note. So watch the director. 421, sing it out. Here we go, on the first note. Watch me now.
Here is why I am happy. So I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffer who asks me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. Underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary, and finally. mercy of God for gentlemen that should come for me. Praise God, my sister gone.
Well, you know what's coming on the last verse. We get down to that last line. Praise God. I want you to shout it out. You don't have to carry a tune. Just shout it out. All right, on the last verse. Here we go.
I'm waiting now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. There underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary,
good singing, you can be
seated. All right, good congregational music today. That's great. Thank you again for praying for us. We had a great time in Virginia this weekend. Of course, got Hunter and his fiance Katie married up at the Brakes National Park on the Virginia side, the big state park there. And if they call it where we were at, the Grand Canyon of the East. It is the big gap that's there, big valley that goes through there. And you can stand on either side. One side, Virginia, Kentucky, I think Tennessee on one side. So very beautiful place, but it was cold and windy, I'm telling you. But we got through it, had a good time, got to do fellowship with Brother Jim Pratt and his wife and the family, and Stephanie and Travis and them. And then this morning, had the great privilege to be with Brother Ethel Amberge. And Brother Ethel asked me to teach the adult Sunday school class, and then we preached this morning and had a good service, a good time, and the Lord was really there. And I appreciate Brother Steve filling in this morning, and I know you had a good service here as well. And thank you so much for praying for us. As far as I know, not planning on being gone anymore for the rest of this year, and I'm glad. I know now why God called me to be a pastor and not an evangelist. I don't know that I'd like to do that traveling all the time, to be honest with you. I'd just rather be right here with everybody. So we're glad to be back here. It's good to have the children home, and we'll introduce them, and then they're going to have the service and sing for us a while, and then his brother's going to preach. I've never even met him. I think I bumped into him in the bathroom. That's the extent of our knowledge. But Brother Joel Logan, his pastor, recommends him highly. And I'll tell you, if Brother Joel recommends him, I'd say he's all right. So we're going to hear from him tonight as well. And so we're looking forward to that. But thank you again for praying for us and for being here. Come on, ushers, let's take care of our regular church offering. At the end now, Brother Steve mentioned everyone, we're going to take a special offering for the children's home. And I hope you've prayed about what to give. Really like to give them a really, really good love offering from Anchor Baptist Church. We have supported the children's home. I have personally, since I've been in the area, 2003, our church, in the 6 years we've been in existence, we have supported the children's home. And, of course, we love Tabernacle. And, of course, Dr. Seitler was the founder. And now Brother Joel Logan, my friend Brother Joel Logan, is pastoring there. And we're so glad that the children's home, it seems like, has really burgeoned again. And I know that ministry is very necessary. And so we're going to support that children's home just as long as the Lord will let us. We'll do that at the end of the service, though, so just keep that in mind if you haven't already prayed and thought about what you want to give. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon the offering. Heavenly Father, it's a great joy to be back in Columbia at Anchor Baptist Church. I have enjoyed, and Lord, You called me to preach, and I've had opportunity over the last 3 weekends to preach in other places, and I'm grateful for that. But Lord, it's nothing like being at home. I'm so glad to be home, glad to be amongst my people. God, we're grateful for Your love and mercy to us, for saving us. Thank You for this good congregation of folks that have come out tonight. And we're looking forward to hearing from the children's home and from this brother who'll be preaching in a little while. But God, we do pray that You'll bless this offering for the church, the gift, and the giver, and also the special offering we'll be taking at the end of the service. May we give as unto the Lord. We love You. Thank You for all You do now. In Jesus' name, amen. so much. Well, as you know, we have invited and we're grateful and we're very honored to have the Tabernacle Children's Home here with us. They've been here before, not in this church, but in the other church. And, of course, we've known all about them for many, many, many years. I remember when I was growing up in Michigan, our church there supported the children's home up there. And, of course, my pastor loved Dr. Seitler, and that was the connection we had with Greenville, even all the way up in Michigan. Well, since I've been here in Columbia, we have supported the children's home and think it's a great ministry. And so we're excited to have them here. So, now, here's the way, because I'm kind of coming in this thing like on a flying carpet here, I haven't even had a chance to meet everybody. So, brother, who's in charge of this crowd? Miss Annie, stand up there if you don't mind and just tell everybody who you are and what you're doing there at the home, if you would. Amen. Amen. How many children do you have? You've got quite a group here. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have you all come on up if you want to and get ready to sing and do whatever it is you're going to do and just take your time, maybe 4 or 5 songs, whatever you want to do, however what kind of program you have, and then I'll introduce this brother to everybody to preach for us here in just a minute. But you pray for them and encourage them as they sing.
How they're getting situated, I just want to thank you so much for the support that y'all give to the home. It really is what keeps us going. Adding your prayers is just amazing, and we really appreciate it. Recently, we've even had some of the parents, grandparents, especially one grandfather that came to tell them they can come be with their children if they'd like to in church. And that can be one of their visits. They just come and they see them and they sit in church. And recently we had his granddaughter got saved. A few weeks later, the grandfather got saved, and he's been coming faithfully. So your money is not only coming in your prayers to help these children, but it's also starting to reach out now to the families, and we really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Now you have an idea of where some of your mission money goes. To a group just like that. Now, I'll tell you what, if they can sing how good God is, we don't have much to complain about, do we? I'm telling you, we get caught up in complaining and moping and groaning and carried on because we don't have it exactly right. But I tell you, God's been good to us, hasn't he? He sure has. Thank you. Miss Fanny, would you introduce the rest of the adults to everyone, if you don't mind? Stand up, folks. Or she, yeah. Amen. Thank you, folks. Thank you so much for being here. We're so glad to have, we're honored to have you be here. Young people, you did a great job singing for the Lord. Just keep living for Jesus. I'll tell you, one of these days, God's going to do something with all of you. I promise you that. And that's wonderful. I'm so glad to be able to hear from them again. It's been so long. And thank you so much for coming. Well, let's see here. Brother Rob Oswald, is that right? Brother Rob is from Rochester, New York. By the way, that's where Chad is working. Up in Rochester this week, they called him, asked him to go out of town to work this week, and so he's up there. And I think they were calling maybe for some snow up that way, weren't they? Huh? Yeah, they're talking about some lake effect snow up that way, so Brother Chad might be getting more than he asked for, I don't know. But anyway, Brother Rob Oswald, 22 years old, worked with inner city kids in the Rochester area before he felt God's call to come to Greenville to work in the children's home, and it says here he got engaged this week. Is that right? If the fiance is not here with you, he's not. All right, we're starting off good. Get engaged and go your separate ways. So that's not the best way to do it, no. Listen, I wish I could have gotten here sooner. I could have met everyone and really got to know everyone. And I apologize for that, but we got here just as fast as we could possibly get here. Miss Judy sat in the back seat and prayed the whole way while I drove the chariot furiously trying to get here. So, and by the way, it was her chariot too. I didn't take mine. I took her. We took hers. Three digits? No. That's the three digit man right there. I'll tell you. No, I'm not that brave. Anyway, Brother Rob Oswald, come on up, Brother Rob, and he's going to be preaching for us tonight. Rob, just tell us a little about your testimony before you preach so we can get to know you better, but we're glad to have you here. You just help yourself, all right?
Yes, sir, appreciate it. Yes, sir, it's good to be. Okay. All right, we're good to go. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, and we'd like to say that it is an honor and a privilege to be able to come here and to be able to see people all over this country and all over this world. Just have a heart for God, have a heart to serve God, and no matter what aspect it is. And Tabernacle Children's Home has been a blessing to me. I grew up in a Christian home. I was one of eight children. My parents were saved probably about 2 years before I was born. That's all I knew was Christianity and growing up in church. Like I said, I was one of eight children. I grew up with a wonderful family. My parents love each other more now than they do the day they got married. And just to be able to be raised in a Christian home, a homeschooled home, we went to a church up there in upstate New York, and we ran about 350 people in the congregation, and probably about 75 of us were under the age of 5. We just had a lot of positive peer pressure, and it was really just an amazing experience to be able to grow in an environment that was conducive for a young person to serve God and to do something for God. But I was determined at an early age that I didn't want to just use that myself. As I was saved at the age of 11, April 15, 2007, I was laying there in my bed, no one else with me. I was laying there, and I knew that I needed a Savior. I knew that I wasn't saved, and that the only way I could go to heaven was through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it was then that I accepted the Lord Jesus. And after that, I kind of used my teen years to prepare myself for what the Lord had next. Because I looked across the country, and I took mission trips. I went to Honduras and Moldova and different places across this country. And I realized that what I had, most people didn't. Now, it wasn't going to be selfish to use it just for my advantage. I wanted to take it and give it up. But through my teen years, I traveled. I did different things I could. I enrolled in our Bible Institute. We had at our church and saved from that in 2016. And it was then that I started looking, seeing what God wanted, where He wanted me. Last September, I heard about Tabernacle Children's Home. And so I made the long drive down from upstate New York to Greenville, South Carolina. And that's where I came and met Tabernacle Children's Home. And I met my fiance and fell in love with the whole package. And so I visited several times over the course of 6 months. And I moved here April of this past year. So I've been here right around 6 months. So it's been a true blessing to see what God does in our lives. We serve a great God, don't we? Galatians chapter 6. If you have your Bible, we'll turn to Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 9. A very, very familiar verse. It says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. This world is full of people that are quitting. Statistics show that every 13 minutes, somebody quits on life and takes their own life. It's the 10th in America. It's the 10th leading cause of death. The second leading cause of death from people between the ages of 10 and 24. There's 50, right around 50% divorce rate. And, you know, we all like to joke around, come January, we'll all get our gym membership. You know, just going to prove to ourselves and prove to people that we're going to do it. And statistics show that 80% quit by March. Because we live in a society and it's all about us. And it's all about what works for now. It's all about how we can get pleasure, how we can get joy. And becomes, when that doesn't happen, we tend to quit. And unfortunately, the philosophy and the mindset has crept into our churches. And as you look across the country, as you look across the world, places are getting darker and darker. And pews are getting more empty and more empty. And pastors are falling into more sin, more sin. And churches that once were thriving, and their goal in life was to win people to Christ. Now their goal in life is to bring in more money and just to try and kill the people. We have to ask ourselves, what is the reason? There's a lot of reasons why people quit. Sometimes it's sin, sometimes it's trials, sometimes it's other people. But the question I want to ask ourselves tonight is, what is going to keep us? What is going to keep us from quitting? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just love you. And I am thankful for the blessings that you have poured upon my life. As I stand up here as a 22-year-old young man, I can look back and say I have been blessed in my life as I go to sleep each day. But I'm just thankful for the blessings you've given me, and I'm just thankful for who you are as a God. And that you're a God that is all-powerful, a God that is all-loving, and a God that created the universe in 6 days, yet a God that still loves us, a God that still wants to be our friend, a God that still cares about us. I pray that you would bless the service, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, and that all would be done for your honor and your glory. We pray this all in your precious and holy name. Amen. So, quitting. You want to quit. Who here likes quitting? Nobody likes quitting, but yet it's so easy to fall into. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 73. Psalm chapter 73. What I want to do today is, just for a few minutes, look at a few things that are going to come into all of our lives. I heard it once said, you're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or getting ready to go into a trial. Every one of us is going to face a hard time in our life. Every one of us is going to have our backs up against the wall, and we're going to say, is it even worth going forward? Is it even worth proceeding with what I'm doing in life? What's going to get us past that? What's going to get us past that ledge and onto solid ground with God? Psalm chapter 73. And if you read through the psalm, we don't have time to read through it all. The psalmist is confused. The psalmist says, I don't understand. Because I'm over here, I'm doing everything that I can to try and please God. I'm doing the things I'm supposed to be doing, and even through it all, I'm having problems. I look over here, and over here, there's these wicked people who are living their lives for themselves, doing the things that they think are good, and just trying to please themselves, and yet it seems like they have blessings. And he's confused, and he doesn't understand. But I think he finally gets it. You get towards the end of the chapter. He says this bold statement in verse 25. Psalm 73, verse 25, he says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire such. See, the psalmist got to the point in his life where he said, it doesn't matter. Because who do I have in heaven besides God? And who do I have on this earth besides God? And that is how the psalmist to get through life. And not only get through life, but get through life with joy. Because he knew that no matter what happened in his life, he could go forward because his joy was not in his circumstance. His joy was not in his wealth. His joy was not in the things that he had, but his joy and his desire to move forward was in nothing else than the Lord Jesus. And that is the only solution. That is the only thing that will get us from point A to point B. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. April 15, 2007, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Here I am, standing right here. I know that the day I die, I'm going to go to heaven. There's nothing that anybody can do to change that. But now I have to ask myself, as I go forward, what am I doing? Whose lives am I changing? Who am I touching? What am I doing for God? Am I doing anything? Or do I start something and say, it's too much work. I'm going to heaven anyway. And just fall off. And quit. And maybe I come to church on Sunday morning. Oh, hey, I'm even here on Sunday night. But maybe there's something in your life. You used to have a zeal for God, and you used to have boldness for God, and you used to have a ministry, and you used to have something, but you know what? Life's hard, and life's going to throw things at you, and you're going to get knocked down. But it's not how many times you get knocked down, but are you going to get back up? And the only thing that's going to get us back up to say, the only thing that I need in my life is God. So, that's the solution to the problem. But a lot of times it's easier said than done, so to speak. Because, oh yeah, you want to love God that much. But then the problems come. One of the problems that I think we all face that can lead us to being a bold, zealous person for God, to being somebody who maybe doesn't even go to church anymore. One of the things that I believe gets us there is the fact that we tend to put other things before God. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We all know Paul was one of the greatest missionaries, and along the way he had some helpers, people that went along with him on his trips. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, it says, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica. If you don't make God number one in your life, you won't make. If we don't make God the priority in our life, yes, we'll still go to heaven. But the things that we could do, and the people that we could change, and the lives that we could touch, will not be near the same if God is number one. It doesn't have to be bad things. It doesn't have to be sin. It could be your family. It could be sports. It could be friends. It could be hobbies. It could be all those things that we tend to fill our life, and we wake up in the morning, and we're in a society that's just buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. Most of us will wake up to 4 or 5 text messages, and all these posts that people posted about all the things they did during the night. And you wake up and, oh, okay, we don't run to our Bible anymore. We run to our phones, and we run to our computers, and we run to our friends, and we run to all those things. And we have to ask ourselves, who is number one in our life? Is God number one? And if God isn't number one, and if we think, well, I can sleep an extra 15, 20 minutes instead of getting up and spending some time with God, I know I do it all the time. If we don't make God number one in our life, folks, we're not going to make it. Because those other things are going to become priority. There's a pendulum. Where is God? If God's here, and we're here, who do you think is going to take priority in our life? God. How often does that pendulum start to switch? And start to go, and then all of a sudden we're number one, and all the people and all the pleasures and all the other things are number one. Well, let me ask you something. When those people and those pleasures and all that stuff you have as number one fail you, that's what's going to happen. You're going to quit. The only way you're going to make it is if God is number one. See, Demas, he forsook the things of God because there was something else in his life. Something else that was more important to him than God. And that's one thing. But another thing that so often will lead us to quitting is getting hurt. I don't know about you, but I've been hurt a few times in life. Going to get that person, but it kind of seems like their goal in life is to knock you down. And it kind of feels like every time you turn around, there's somebody there that hurts you. That says something that you can't stand. That says something that maybe isn't true. That says something about you that hurts. How many times do we see people that leave the churches, not just leave a church, but leave God because of something somebody said? Something somebody did. I'm going to be honest with you, that hurt is real. A lot of times that pain is genuine. They do hurt. What's going to keep us from getting hurt so bad by something that somebody does or something that somebody says and going from somebody that's serving God and doing something and somebody decides, the devil says, I'm going to put this person in their life and try and knock them down. And that person says something or does something, and then we end up over here doing nothing for God. What's going to keep us from that? Psalm 73:25. This is a point in our life where we can say the only thing that we need in God is God. The only thing we need in life is God. Because if we fall because of something somebody said, then we're telling God what they said is more important than what you said. Because if somebody does something that knocks us off course, then guess what? God's not in control. God's not number one in our life. The person and the other people's view of us and the other people's thoughts of us and the other things that people say about us become more important than what God says. And if we get to that point in our life, guess what? I'm being honest with you. I've been hurt. People have said stuff. People have done things that hurt. I'm not minimizing that. But the only thing that's going to get us through is to get to the point in our life where we say, God, who have I in heaven but there's none on earth that I love more than. How do we do that? It's not easy to forgive. But Jesus gave an example. When he lay there on the cross, his arms stretched out. Now, you ask me, if anybody else had some reason to be bitter, that would be God. If anybody else had a reason to say, you know what, he hurt my feelings, that would be Jesus. Never did anything wrong, and yet there he stands on the cross, shame and bleeding, die for you and me. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. What's going to get us from getting offended, getting hurt, throwing out the things of God. To be able to say in our life, there is nobody that means more to us than God. And then,
forgive.
Just forgive. Not forgive when asked you for forgiveness. To forgive when people apologize. But just to forgive because it's the right thing to do. I heard a quote that said, apologizing doesn't always mean you're wrong and the other person is right. It just means that you care more about the relationship than you do your ego. Sometimes, you just got to go up to somebody and say, you know what? I don't know what you have against me. I don't know why you keep hurting my feelings. I don't know why you keep saying all those things about me. But I just want you to know, I forgive you. I love you. You don't do that for them. Do that for you. To do that, that you don't end up in sin, and you don't end up on the sidelines watching everybody else run the race, the Christian race, standing over here saying, what happened? You know what happened? You let the thing be said, if somebody did, I threw off course. It's real. It's going to happen. What's going to keep us going? The only thing that will keep us going is to be able to say, who have I in heaven but thee? There's none upon the earth that I love more than thee. So, what's going to knock us off? Putting other things before God's going to knock you off. If you don't have that relationship with God, things that people say, things that people do, getting hurt, that's going to knock you off. And one of the biggest things is just simply your circumstances. Circumstances and the hard times and the things that you're going through in life. Before I came to work at Tabernacle Children's Home, I delivered bread for a living. And so I had a box truck, and so I would go pick up the bread in the morning at about 2:30 in the morning. I'd get the bread from the warehouse, and I'd take it to the grocery store. I would deliver it. And for about a year and a half, I had this box truck. It was an absolute thorn in the side. Every time I turned around, I was pouring more money into it, more money into it, more money. And there was this one day, I had just gotten the truck back after having it in the shop. I had replaced transmissions, I had replaced transmission lines, and it was just nightmare after nightmare after nightmare. One day, I'm going along the road, and the transmission starts to go on. And it's just dum 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 dum. Every time I try and get a, the RPMs are roaring, and I couldn't get it. But finally, I pulled into a Dollar General that I had to deliver to, and I put my head on the steering wheel. I said, God. So I put on the emergency brake, and I get out, and I said, I'm just going to leave the truck, and I'm going to go in, do what I got to do, and come back. So I go in, I put some more transmission fluid in it, because usually that would work. Sometimes it's just low. I put more transmission fluid in. I go inside the store, come back out, I get in my truck, I start it up, I said, God, please let this die. Or please let this go. And I'm stepping on the gas pedal. Now, for a while, I could go 30, 40 miles an hour and it'd be all right. But now I'm pressing on the gas and it's just, and it's not moving at all. So now it's worse than it was. I drop my head on the steering wheel. I'm a 19-year-old kid. I drop my head on the steering wheel. I look down. And I left the emergency. I just released the emergency brake and the truck was good to go. So I said all that to say this. Sometimes there's just that something. Sometimes there's just those things in life. You just have those days. You just have those weeks. You just have those months. So sometimes we even have those years. And we just get to the point and we say, all the things around me and all the circumstances that I'm facing, is it even worse? Is it even worse going through heartache, losing a relative, or to see somebody pass away, to see somebody walk away from God, to see that marriage break, or to see that pastor that you idolized for years sick, to see that child that you invested your life into walk away from God and say, okay. Those things are real. Those things are going to happen each and every one. But what's going to get us past? What's going to get us past those circumstances that come into our life? And like we said from the beginning, the only thing that will is to get to the point in our life where we say, it doesn't matter. See, if our joy is only in our circumstances, we're not going to be joyful that often. But if our joy is in God, we can be joyful all the time. We can be joyful when it's raining. We can be joyful when it's sunny. We can be happy when everything's going wrong. Maybe not always with this huge smile on our face. We can have a joy in our heart knowing, but you know what? God's in control. So, Job chapter 1. You all know the story of Job? Job was a man who went through a lot of problems. He went through a lot of heartache. He went through a lot of trials. And he says a very bold statement, which we probably could all quote, in Job chapter 1, verse 21. He said, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return therein. The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said, you know what? I lost my children. I lost my valuables. I lost everything I had. But the Lord gave it to me. The Lord's taken it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How could he say that? The only way he could say that is because God was the one in his life. And the Bible's through story after story after story. He said, but you don't understand my circumstance. You know what? Sometimes I justify the attitude that I'm in. Like, you know what? I'm really having a bad day, and I deserve to just, you know, mope around about it and complain about it because, after all, this circumstance is pretty tough. Follow Joseph. He said, well, you don't understand the family that I have, the family that I don't have. Well, you know what, Joseph? Joseph was a man, was a boy. You know what? He grew up, And his brothers and his sisters, they didn't like him. They got rid of him. They sold him in Egypt. And he had the opportunity to say, you know what, God, you poured all these circumstances on me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to pout about it, and I'm going to moan about it, and I'm going to complain about it. But if you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 7. Joseph, a person again, trial after trial after trial in his life. Acts chapter 7, verse 9. It says, and the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him. You know what? Joseph, he couldn't have made it on his own. To be taken into a land and thrown into prison, or no, thrown into this foreign land, and then, you know, you're doing good, you get a position, all right, this might be working out. Then you get thrown in jail for doing something for getting accused of something you didn't do. So now he's in jail, and again he has an opportunity to do it, but over and over and over, he proves God, he trusts God, God gets him through the problem. How? But God was with him. His circumstances were horrible, but God never is. If God's number one in your life, like God was number one in Joseph's life, then you can say, I can do it. I can get through. And then no matter what happens in your life, you can keep going. You can keep moving forward. And a couple years ago, we took a family vacation to Hershey, Pennsylvania. And we went to Hershey Park. They have this huge amusement park. And I had always roller coasters. I could take them or leave them. I never really knew if I liked them or not. And they had some ginormous roller coasters at this amusement park. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to step on a limb and I'm going to try. So me and my brother rode every roller coaster that they had there. There was some pretty wild roller coasters. There was one that went from 0 to 70 miles an hour in 1.5 seconds. Or poo. There was one that was a 97 degree drop. You went straight up, you went around, and when you came down, you didn't come straight down, you went boom. You're literally coming out of your chair. And so we zoomed around, rise after rise after rise. I was scared. There were times I wanted to throw up. But you know what? I enjoyed it. I got through it. You know what? I was safe. So I got thinking about that. I said it was pretty crazy. All the twists, the turns, the ups, and the downs that roller coaster had. But you know what kept me safe? That harness. That harness, you get in that chair, you sit on there, and you pull that harness down, and you click it into place. The worker comes by, pulls on it, makes sure it's nice and tight. And then you go through life, you go through those roller coasters, you go up, and you go down, and you go this way, you go that way. No matter how many twists or how many turns, I really wasn't nervous about dying because I knew the harness was going to keep me. And that's what it's like in life. Going to have your ups and your downs and your twists and your turns and your rights and your lefts. And no matter how hard it gets, you can know we're safe because that harness, that relationship with Jesus Christ will keep us going. But how many times do you step in the roller coaster of life and say, ah, I don't need that harness. I got this on my own. Guess what? You're not going to make it far. You're going to make it down that first hill and boom, you're gone. You're going to be laying on the ground with a broken neck. In life, we're like, oh, I got this. I can handle this. We start going, and then we wonder why that person quit, and that person quit, and that person gives up, and that person's no longer doing what they're supposed to. You know why? That's pulled on the... And you know what the amazing thing is? The crazier the twist, the crazier the turns, the higher the up, the higher the down, guess what? The harder you hold on to that heart. And then you know what? All those people would be screaming on the top of their lungs as they'd be going through, but you know what? 99% of them would be sitting there at the end of the ride with a big smile on their face. They're like, let's do it again. And someday, we get to go to heaven. We get to have a big smile on our face and say, we made it. Not because of us, but because of that harness we had wrapped around us. And that harness that we held on to so tight. And no matter the twists and the turns, then you go through one roller coaster, you're like, stop, wasn't so bad. Because it's not really that big of a deal because this harness is going to keep you safe. It's not a tougher one. It's a harder one. And before you know it, you're just going through, not even thinking about it anymore, not even worrying about it anymore, because you know that harness is going to keep you safe. How is our harness? How is our relationship with God? Are we at a point in our life where we can say, who have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon the earth that I have beside thee. You know what? Life is confusing. Life has its twists and turns. We don't always understand it, but God doesn't ask us to understand. Go ahead and turn back to Psalm chapter 73. We're not supposed to know all the answers to it. Psalm chapter 73. How are we going to get through the hurt? How are we going to get through the pain? How are we going to get through the circumstances? How are we going to make it through? Get to the point that God is number one in our life. I'm going to tell one more Bible story, and then we'll close. There's a lady in the Bible, a very familiar story, and it's the story of Naomi. Naomi was a lady who the husband had some boys. Things were going good. All of a sudden, there was a famine in the land. Now, we read the story, but I want you to actually put yourself in this lady's shoes. There's a famine, which means there's absolutely nothing you need. You can run out to Publix, the Bible, or whatever's around the corner and get everything you need. Nothing. So bad to have to move. But she moves with her husband and her sons. Her sons get married. Things are going great. And all of a sudden her husband dies. Short while later, one of her sons dies. A little bit longer, another one of her sons. Put yourself in that. Thus lost her husband, her two sons, in a land that she doesn't know. Then, through set of circumstances, the famine clears up in the land. She's going to move back home. She tells her daughter-in-law, stay here. Ruth says, I'm going to go anyway. So what are the chances of that happening? Now Naomi and Ruth move back to the land that they were in. And then, again, they're struggling. They don't have food. Ruth says, I'm going to go to work. So she goes to work for Boaz. Boaz ends up marrying Ruth. But through that bizarre set of circumstances, Naomi gets blessed. But not only does Naomi get blessed, but if you read in Matthew, through the line of Ruth came King David, the greatest king ever ruled the nation of Israel. Man after God's own heart. Then if you follow through that lineage, comes Jesus. She lost her husband. She lost her son. She lost her other son. There's a famine in the land. You know what? She kept going. Because she did get the line of Jesus. You say, I don't understand it. You may not. You may never understand. But God knows. God knows what you're going through. God knows the hurt that you're feeling. God knows the circumstances you're in. Psalm chapter 73, verses 25, it says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth but thy desire beside thee. Thy flesh and my heart faileth. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion. Who's your strength? You're going to fail. I'm going to fail. And everybody else is around us. Why are we clinging to ourselves when we have a harness? We have a God that's there for us every step of the way. Now we can get through. And again, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But then we can get to heaven. We can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We can look back and say, I could have quit then. I could have quit there. I could have given up there. I could have stopped there. But I kept going. Because God is number one in my life. We have to ask ourselves, I ask myself just about every day. I say, God, I know if I don't make you number one in my life, I'm not going to make it. Circumstances are going to come. Hurts are going to come. Things before God are going to come. But we have to just look and say, God, who have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart, Alice, God, the portion of my strength forever. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I love you. I'm just thankful for the trials you put me through, and through the good times you put me through, and how I've tested you and tried you, how you've proven yourself each and every step of the way. Life's difficult, life's hard. You're good each and every day, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that you're a God that loves, a God that cares. I pray that you'd help us all keep you number one in our life. It's all in your precious and holy name.